Romans 1:24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, that's for all of you that don't believe the word of God. Actually, you don't believe me when I say it, and I tell people that there are people that the Bible says that God will give up on. And that is on, well, you just heard it right there. And that's where we started with this sermon here today. And it's a sobering look, but it's a promise, friend, that if you continue in, let's call the first group, idolatry / extreme environmentalists, and that is you worship the creation instead of the Creator, and number two, homosexuality, men with men and women with women doing what is absolutely shameful, are the two groups of people, according to the Bible in Romans chapter 1, that God will actually give up on. And that is not believers, that will be unbelievers. Because believers, if you're a believer, you can't continue to flagrantly stick your thumb in God's eye and live a life like that. This is the last part that's going to air on the radio, at least, of this message. Acts chapter 18. If you're a real glutton for punishment and you want a copy of it, email me, Paul, WMIEFM.com, and I'll send you a copy or I'll send you the link. Here's the last part now of this message.
The two groups of people the Bible says that God ever gives up on, homosexuals and environmentalists / idolaters, those who worship the creation instead of the Creator. You see it on the news all the time. People in California, people that let other people die to protect an animal, is what this means. When you protect an owl instead of people, stopping the water from going and flowing to people so that people can live, and you put an animal or a tree in head of the people of God, that is worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. Amen? Amen or not, that's what it means. I hope you see that. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on them. Because the Bible says that God is long-suffering, and He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You don't know where someone's at. You know what? Thank God no one gave up on me 20 years ago. When I was a heathen, living like a devil. Thank God no one gave up on me. Thank God my brother didn't give up on me, but he kept praying for me. Listen to what this Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. This is the famous text about how people aren't going to get into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6, where it says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? And then there's a long list of people that will never see the inside of heaven. And then after that, he says this. He says, and such were some of you. You see, we all came out of that. We never stopped preaching, sharing the gospel with people. What God does, it's up to God. Who knows when he gives up on you and I are to continue to reach out to people always. And such were some of you. Then he says, notice the past tense here. He says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We all have come out of a lifestyle like that. We don't ever give up on people. God is long-suffering. We should be the same thing with people as well. But I just want you to see it. It's just as a warning. I mean, haven't you ever met an unrepentant homosexual that didn't give a rip? Have you ever met one? Those are your people. You see, your conscience is a gift from God. God's given you your conscience. When he tries to turn you back to him, he upsets your conscience. In Italian, we call it agita. It's an itch that you can't scratch. It's like a bee in your bonnet. Ants in the pants. It's no peace until you make things right. But when God gives up on you, then you just don't care anymore. Now, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads, for I am clean. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." And so it goes for the Jew. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Paul would say, and did say a few weeks back, he says, "Since you deem yourselves unworthy of eternal life, then I'll go to the Gentiles." Wherever he went, the Jews hated him. Verse 7, so he departed from there, entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. And this is how it goes. Nowhere in the Bible are you called as a missionary to be a glutton for punishment. If they refuse you, shake off the dust from off of your feet and move on to the next people who perhaps might be hungry to hear and know the truth. Don't stay. Don't stay where you're not wanted. Now, Jesus himself said this. He said, "In whatever place you go, enter the house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you leave that place, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them." See, that was a symbolic gesture of disgust and disdain. Shake off the dust as a testimony. Assuredly, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for that city. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? I can't add a comment to that. Because they had the Messiah here. They rejected the Messiah. But church, you are carrying beautiful pearls. If people don't want your pearls, move on to others who do. If people don't want your pearls, what you have to offer, move on. Don't be a glutton for punishment. Move on. Also, Jesus said, Matthew 7:6, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not cast your pearls before swine. All right, verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing and believing, they were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I've got many people in this city." And he continued there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So again, Corinth was an evil city, let me tell you, full of idolatry, sexual immorality. What a tough job he must have had there in Corinth. But just like Jesus said to Ananias, "I will show him how many things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake." All right, let's pick it up in verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren, and he sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Centuria, for he had taken a vow. All right, the vow was a Nazarite vow, kind of like fasting today for us. After your vow, you would shave your head and bring the hair from your shaved head to the temple in Jerusalem. That's what was written. Some people
were born Nazarites.
Anyone think of a couple Nazarites? No, not Jesus.
Samson is one. John the Baptist, born a
Nazarite, where they weren't ever allowed to cut their hair. But a Nazarite vow is a temporary thing. Verse 19, and he came to Ephesus. And he left them there. The them is Priscilla and Aquila. Now, when you read 1 Corinthians 16, it says the church met in their house. So he left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. What a glutton for punishment. Verse 20, so they asked him to stay a little while longer with them. He did not consent, but he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. So he sailed from Ephesus, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed, went over the regions of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now remember, Antioch is the main hub of the church. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, we read in the Bible. So Paul's basically home again. He was Jewish, wanted to keep the feast. Nothing wrong with that, that's his heritage. This note from my Believer's Bible commentary says, the ship's next stop was Caesarea. From there, the apostle went up and greeted the church at Jerusalem. Then he went down to Antioch for what was to be his final visit. And thus ends Paul's second missionary journey. I kind of feel like I know these places a little bit better now. How about you? Each and every week we've been following him along here. All the opposition who he's run into. Isn't it funny? The opposition has come from the religious people. And the Gentiles that don't know any better are the ones that have embraced him and have received Christ. But it's the religious people are the ones that try to kill him. One last section here in this chapter, verse 24. Then we'll have communion here and we'll be done. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria,
thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You have tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in
this day, this fantastic Friday.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic day that the Lord has given us.
Yeah.
The completion of the first full week of May. We give God all the glory for continuing to keep us in our right mind. We give God all the glory for keeping us in general, keeping us in our body, keeping us in our